Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Just do the right thing! Hello and welcome to the podcast panel show that wants to do the right thing in any situation. For example, what is the right way to pinch someone's bottom? Wait until they've gone on holiday and then prise it off with a claw hammer. They'll probably not even notice it's missing. Fucking typical. I'm Danielle Ward, and with me trying to do the right thing today, he's as tired and irrelevant as the trope of sad old men never growing up itself. It's Michael Legg! And with him, she's won an award for asking how we'd kill baby Hitler. We can't wait for the follow-up about how you would snog baby Hitler and how you would marry baby Hitler. It's Heidi Reagan. On my right, she's one quiet month away from jacking it all in. It's Margaret Cable Smith. And with her, before he was a comedian, he was a bouncer. Thank you for your service. It's Darren Harriott. Let's stop pissing about. It's time for round one.
The importance of being right.
Just like a bebop fan searching for scat on Google Images, I've run into some trouble online. In this round, I'm going to give each team a scenario and they're going to tell me what the right thing to do is according to Rob Newman and David Badailup. Michael and Heidi, winter has been and gone and now it's hot spring. You're pretty confident that you're the new messiah because you died and came back to life and you really, really love cream eggs and you're oddly afraid of reindeer. And you've only ever met three people of colour, King of the North, etc. Only, you're so busy being all handsome and leadery that you forgot the keys to your girlfriend's house and when you get round, she's not answering. Maybe her dog has eaten her because she took too much PCP. Or maybe she's ghosting you. Maybe she's at Waitrose. Being a true hero, you need to make sure she's both alive and still fancies you, and you swore you'd never call again a locksmith. So what is the right way to break down a door without injuring yourself according to messagewithabottle.com?
Well, you could set fire to the door. Is that
it's very Game of Thrones.
Well, I was trying to keep in with the theme that I don't fucking know anything about. I've never had to break down a door, surprisingly.
Really?
No. I mean, I could, easily.
I saw a door broken down 5 years ago. We were at a party and a friend got stuck in the bathroom. And I'm quite gay, but seeing this guy knock it down with his... It did something to my lady tummy. I don't know why. I don't know how you do it right, but do it sexy.
What did he knock the door down with?
Another guy.
He used a leg, but I think it hurt
Classic.
Him. I don't think you should do it with a leg.
Did it hurt? Is that what you were turned on by? The pain?
No, if it did, he hit it. But I assume you use a shoulder. I got stuck between two doors once when we had a house that had a two-door system, obviously, how I got stuck. And I was meant to be going to a birthday lunch and the friend showed up and I had to pass her present through the gate and then spend 2 hours there, and every time someone walked past I had to pretend I was looking for mail because I assumed anyone that knew I was stuck there would just try to set me on fire or something. We lived in a rough area, so yeah.
Do you consider yourself heroic, Heidi?
So far from heroic, it's...
Really?
Amazing.
Would you, if there was a lady screaming behind the door, would you run away?
Yeah. Anything you ask me, I run away.
Hold on, which side of which door? Is she in your bedroom and you're on the outside?
Are you running back inside your house?
You've locked her in your well, now she's screaming.
Sure.
Have you ever been locked in or out of somewhere, Michael?
Yeah, I've been locked out of my own house, and luckily, one of my neighbours has a key. And she's a very nice person. Let's call her... What name do you like?
Cheryl.
Yeah, Cheryl.
I don't like
right,
that.
Cheryl.
Yeah.
Right, so Cheryl Crow. neighbour of mine.
Cheryl Crow doesn't live in Lewisham.
Not anymore, mate. Oh. Have you seen the house prices? Shocking. Lenny Kravitz did, and I'm sure of that, and I will argue anyone... Honestly, I am not convinced... that I didn't see Lenny Kravitz queuing up in a Lewisham foot. Fuck you, Margaret. No one likes you. I'm telling you.
In a Lewisham foot, you just said.
Yes, he was queuing up in a Lewisham foot. No, in a Lewisham health centre for a prescription. And I am not convinced it wasn't him. Where were we?
Yeah, so, Cheryl Crow had a key.
Right, Cheryl Crow. And the thing is, I thought, well, I can't get in, and I've stupidly left my keys in my house. But it's all right. Cheryl Crow, I'll knock on her door. No answer. And I went, oh, well, that's a pain in the arse, because she's the only person... But my next-door neighbour has keys to Cheryl Crow's house. So oh. I knocked on their door and went, I know this is going to sound really dodgy, but would you give me... Would you give me the key to Cheryl Crow's house? And I'll just pop across. Look, she's not home. But I'll just go in and I'll just take the keys. And say, I'm in vain. And they went, well, it does sound dodgy, but fuck it. You've never been popular in the street anyway. So on you go. Here's the keys to Cheryl Crow's house. So I knocked on the door one more time. Because, you know, she didn't answer. So I used the key. Yes, you've every right to look at me in that terrible way. And I opened the door. And there was Cheryl Crow in her bathrobe screaming her fucking head off. And I just get my key and I'm so sorry. And she went, get out, get out. You do not come in here without permission. And she closed the door on me, quite rightly. But luckily, I filmed all of that and it is now one of the most highly rated pieces of feminist pornography you can possibly find.
Have you ever had to break in or out of anything, Margaret, Darren?
I've been through windows.
Okay.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, as in
or
like...
out?
No, I live in a house share, and so some of the people...
Oh, that makes sense then. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've heard all use the door. That's the deal. Some of you pay less,
come on,
but
guys.
Use windows.
Yeah, there's a cat flap for the person downstairs in the basement. Some of the people I live with don't like me. So I...
So you go in through their window.
I don't want to give them the satisfaction of letting me in. Because they will love it. They'll take their time and they'll stare at me. So instead, I try and climb through the window. And I've done it a few times and I've broke a few things. But yeah, it's worth it because, you know, at the end of the day, I win.
Margaret, you've definitely kicked in at least 3 doors.
No. I did. I'll tell you the closest I've got. Is when my grandfather died, he left me a chest of drawers, and it wasn't for ages that I noticed that the back of my underwear drawer had been eaten away by woodworm.
And that's you kicking a door in.
What I'm saying is
STI and a half.
But usually with woodworm, they keep going until they've eaten the whole thing. But these ones just saw my underwear drawer and stopped. Once they'd got out of there, they all died. Is that the answer you were looking for? No, I did have to call the fire brigade out last year because there was water. If you ever want someone to break down a door for you, say that there's water... Oh, no, this doesn't necessarily work for where you live, sorry. There's water coming through the light fittings, right? And so I said you have to come and break into the flat upstairs. And similarly to Heidi... The firefighter who came was very big and handsome, and he just sort of breathed on that door and it opened. It was amazing.
Should you use your shoulder to break down the door, Heidi? I'll simplify the question.
Is that my only...
Yeah, shoulder or nothing?
You definitely use your shoulder.
I ran away.
She just psych the door out.
I think you should if you can't run away.
Michael, would you use your shoulder?
Well, I mean... Or nothing?
Or nothing. Hey, your shoulder's still technically a leg.
Shouldn't you use the fattest bit of you?
All right.
My pico wings.
What, your ass?
Yeah. My tits, yeah.
Go into the door, ass first.
Yeah. You looked at my chin as you said that. That was really hurtful.
It was just very near your tits. Sorry.
Tits down here, please.
You've never even been locked in a toilet, Michael.
It seems likely that I would have been. And I think I would have enjoyed it.
Yeah. My friend once got locked in the toilet at my sixth form college, so it was just like a normal gents, but it had one of those glass windows with the reinforced steel. But he was so drunk that he tried to punch his way through the steel. He was found the next morning just with his hands torn to ribbons over like that.
Oh, God.
Reinforced steel windows in a toilet. What kind of fucking school did you go to?
Not a posh school like you. Did anyone else have reinforced steel toilets?
Honestly, no, because we didn't go to St. Colditz.
Fine. Producer Ben, who's got the actual answer right?
Well, at the moment, I've given -1 point. And that's for Heidi being insistent that she'd use her shoulder. Do not use your shoulder.
I wasn't insistent. I was forced into it because I wanted to run away.
Danielle did give you the option shoulder or nothing as well, which wasn't helpful.
Rigged.
So the weirdly named a message in a bottle.com advises using your shoulder to break down a door is a bad idea. Instead, you should kick it in. To do so, follow these steps. Firstly, figure out which way the door swings.
I mean, that's a personal question, man.
If it swings away from you, you're in luck. If it swings towards you, don't waste your time. You won't be able to kick it in and could end up breaking your foot. Secondly, find the weak spot. Every door has one, apparently.
Tickle the door.
Sometimes it's in the middle, but often it's right around the doorknob near the lock. So aim for that area. Thirdly, plant yourself. Apparently. Use your dominant foot to kick and plant the other foot firmly on the floor. Fourthly, use the heel of your foot to kick and not the toes. It's a door, not a soccer ball. This is an American website. Fifthly, while bending the knees, lean into the kick as though you're trying to go through the door with your body. I give Darren a 0.5 point for
hey! Thank you.
Sixthly, is that a word? Don't use a jump kick. You're not Jason Statham. Oh, unless you're Jason Statham, I suppose.
This website really talks down to
it
people.
It does. You'll get more power if you stay grounded and no running starts. Hopefully, you never find yourself in a situation where breaking or knocking a door down is necessary. Calling the locksmith is always the best idea.
Margaret and Darren. Oh, fucking Jan in accounts is at it again. Last weekend, she ate nothing but snails for charity. And this weekend, she's shaving all her hair off because her nephew has cancer. What a virtue-signalling asshole! We hate her so much. Ugh. But people have started to notice, especially since you got a I fucking hate Jan in accounts coffee mug. And she won't stop trying to be nice to you after she found you crying in the toilets. Why won't she just fuck off? So what's the right way to get on with someone you hate at work, according to BBC Ideas?
I mean, that just sounded like you starting a conversation to me.
Margaret.
Yes.
You like everybody, but there must have been some people who hated you.
Sure.
What do you wish they'd done?
Now... Yeah, do you know, I've had some nemeses, but generally they don't know who I am, which is not really galling.
I like how you said you've got nemeses, but they don't know who you are. You sounded like Batman.
Yeah. No, but Batman's nemeses, they do know, don't they? My point is, it's really embarrassing having enemies that don't care about you. There was a guy who I used to sit next to who I did sort of hate, because I once heard him use the word for shortfalling. Which really isn't a word. Yeah, on the phone to someone. I'm afraid there's been a full shortfall.
I don't think I've had enemies other than like family members.
And all of your flatmates.
Oh, okay, yeah. Thanks for reminding. There's me thinking I've never had enemies and I live with like 6 of them. Yes, I do.
Darren, have you had a proper job?
Yeah, it's weird.
No, hey.
That came in a bit weird.
They haven't.
No, yeah, I have.
You know, I have. I've had a proper job. I used to work with dead bodies. Now I'm in comedy.
Lots of people that come on this show haven't had proper jobs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. No, yeah, I had loads of jobs. Worked in offices. My last job, I used to work as a security guard. Yeah, generally, I think most people probably hated me, to be honest, because I was a bit of a fun ruiner.
A
fun ruiner. Oh. A fondler. I said a fun ruiner, not a fondler. No wonder your toilet had those stainless steel windows on. Bloody hell.
toilet, though, possibly. So did you hate anybody at your security job?
Not other security guards. Generally, I was all right with them. Because if you hated them, it was quite easy, because a fight would kick off and you switch your radio off and leave them to it. It was quite simple.
That's good.
And if you really want to annoy another security guard, we had radios. Shh, one, two, you know, over. So we'd make up phonetic alphabet. We'd do it ourselves. We'd be like, oh, what was the reg? Willy Wonka, Ryan, chocolate stick. It just made... It was so annoying. It was very easy to get on people's nerves in that job.
This in a time when people still have mobile phones? Because I don't understand why people have the walkie-talkies when, you know, you could just have a...
It's quicker. You can't... Try calling someone now. It takes a little time. Walkie-talkie. You don't call it walkie-talkies as well, by the way. I still say that because I haven't done it in a walkie... It's like calling a bike a wheelie riding. Makes no sense, guys. Yeah, radios are much more quick and much more efficient, guys. You can tell I haven't done it in a long time.
Michael, with your job, your proper job...
Yeah, my proper job.
As an undertaker.
I wasn't an undertaker. I wasn't that good.
What did you do?
In a morgue.
Oh, you worked in a morgue?
Yeah, in a morgue.
Oh, that's better.
It is better. I collated photos for autopsies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Every single day was a fucking nightmare. But I'm fine. Really fine now. Unless I close my eyes.
At the morgue.
I haven't blinked since 1986.
At your morgue, like, did you work with like any office douches? Was that...
Well,
was
the great thing about the dead people were they kept themselves to themselves. Unlike me. Oh, God, that's horrible. Now, everyone in the world is a douche, so, of course, I work with douches. But there was an office job that I had when I moved to London, and the reason that I hated the guy that I worked with and had to constantly tell him that I hated him was because he kept saying, "Why don't you have any children?" At the time, I was 22. He just went, "I'm 23. I've got 3 kids." Sure, you fucked your life up. So I'm fucking my life up in a different way, mate. I like middle-aged loneliness, you know, even at 22. And he said, "You were put on this earth for one reason, and that one reason is to have children and procreate, and you've got to give. You can't just take in this life." And that's when I quit my job. Is that the answer, Ben? When you can't stand someone you work with, just quit your fucking job. I got that advice from Johnny Marr.
Heidi, are you easy to get on with?
I think I am, but I had what I thought was a nemesis at one of my first jobs. It was selling DVDs and stuff, and I got the job through
a
friend.
In a morgue.
DVDs.
Yeah,
DVD.
It was good to be on the road, yeah. And the lady who hired me, she hired me because a friend of mine had worked there and said, "Hire Heidi." And I thought she hated me the whole time. It drove me nuts, and I was really intimidated by her. And then after I eventually left, she said to me, "I hated Heidi from day one. I don't know why you made me hire her." So I was right.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's nice to be right.
Did she have a reason?
My only guess is she could smell the desperation because, like I said, I'm a huge coward. I did office temp work today and I just felt how I go so subservient. My last job, I was a receptionist for 5 years. My boss called me subservient and I went, "Yeah, I guess I am."
I thought
make me just go...
You just bowed.
Yeah, yeah. And I was doing it today. I was like, "What's wrong with you?" Like, I was more scared in the office today than I was thinking about bombing on this tonight. Something about office
this is
work.
Madness.
Yeah?
A boss said to you, "You're subservient," and you went, "Yeah, I am." Well, if you'd said, "No, I'm not," well, you're fired. That's what a boss is. What?
Well, I said to her, "I've never really thought about it, but yeah, I guess so." Oh, I'm so sad. I'm so sorry.
You should hate more. Get the rage.
I push it down and it comes out as subservience. And then,
yeah, you're going to...
I get it. I dwell on it. I'm still thinking about that DVD, bitch.
Does this mean you might kill one of us tonight?
Well, just I think that. You're bringing it out.
No.
So, yeah.
Good.
But that will be a great step for me, so you'll feel good.
Yeah.
And a great cliffhanger for the series.
Yeah. I'll simplify the question, Margaret and Darren.
Kill them with kindness.
Kill them with something.
Kill them with kindness.
The Gandhi approach.
Yeah. I was going to say...
Sleep with
talk
your
about
niece.
Your religion to them. Try to
sleep with your niece. That'll be distracting.
Sleep with your niece. He really did. He loved it.
A simplified question. Mm. Should you tell the person you have a problem with them? It makes you cry.
Yeah, that the thought of that makes me cry. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah, I bet.
I would happily say...
But I can use the door in my house, so I'm winning.
That is true. You don't have to Olympic dive through your window. Yeah, I personally would definitely say, oh, I'm not a big fan of you. But
and you'd put it like that?
Yeah, I put it like that. But that's quite nice.
Try it on me, go on.
Okay, let's have a quick conversation. Mm-hmm. You start it off. Hi, how you doing? You all right?
I'm all right.
Oh, yeah. You're probably not going to last here, are you?
What?
You seem a bit nervous and a bit scared.
I'm your boss.
But you're right. I will leave.
I have a real answer.
Okay.
I remember reading that either Benjamin Franklin or George Washington, one of them, had a theory that if someone doesn't like you, you get them to do a favour for you, and that tricks their brain into thinking, I did the favour for them, I must like them.
Ooh, that's good.
So if you hate somebody,
ask them to do
depends
a favour
on the
for
favour.
You.
Oh. Can you jump off this cliff for me?
Yeah. Ben, is anybody close?
Well, that's actually a really good answer from Heidi, but it's not on the list, but I've given out loads of points anyway this round.
Yeah.
So, according to BBC Ideas...
your niece.
That isn't on there either, but they say, face up to the problem. It won't get better by itself, and you could find yourself years down the line still in the same boat hating this person, I guess, if you work in a ferry. So, so a bit...
Oh, Ben did a joke!
I did.
Let Ben bring his jokes in.
So a bit of short-term pain, a difficult but an honest conversation with the person in question can lead to a lot of long-term gain. So Darren said, yes, he'd definitely have a conversation. Point to Darren. And Michael said, the office job in London.
Yeah.
You constantly told him you didn't like him, so
yeah.
Point for that. I'll also give Michael half a point here. Check your personal narrative. What impression do you give off to other people? You might think you're modest and quiet. But others might think you're aloof and holier than thou and freeze you out. This is a classic situation where everyone is misunderstanding each other. So your personal narrative for him was that you were childless.
Still aren't, mate.
Yeah.
Out of stubbornness, I proved him fucking wrong.
And another half point for get the other person's perspective, because he told you your job was to procreate. So show them you've understood by summarising back to them what they've said. Too often people just want to persuade people to see things their way, but if you show you're ready to listen, you'll have a much more constructive conversation. I also gave Kill With Kindness half a point to Margaret and Darren for that. Remember, you don't have to like them, you just have to work with them. So I've given Heidi a point there for just continuing to work with people she hates.
For cowardice.
It's the least
given me a point
we could
for cowardice.
And so if you take these steps, not only will they diminish the feeling of dislike and make you better at working with people, but you might actually get to enjoy it.
No one's buying that, Ben. At the end of that round, what the points producer, Ben?
It's two all.
Woo! Woo!
Hello, this is Margaret from Do the Right Thing. I have...
Not on.
I have two children, and until they can start making me money, I would really like you to help me feed them and also escape from them and go and do the right thing, which is my favourite job. Please go to comedy.co.uk/DTRT/donate if you'd like to make a one-off payment or even a pay-per-episode, like it's boxing donation for future series. Please help us. Thank you. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't touch my balls. I caught them in the compost bin and it was agony! In this round, I'll be getting the panel to solve some problems for our audience. But before that, I'm going to evaluate their empathy with a letter sent to a real agony aunt. Michael, would you read this, please?
Dear agony aunt. Thank you. I work very hard to keep my lawn in nice shape, but I am tired of finding the little surprises that my neighbour's dog leaves behind on it. I've spoken to him. My neighbour, not the dog. Guess whose fucking side I'm on already. I have spoken to him about this many times, but he just shrugs it off and says he will try to watch Fido more closely. My town does have a pooper scooper law, but it only applies to parks and public spaces. I try to be a good neighbour, but I am at the end of my rope, or lead, about this. What should I do?
Margaret.
Yeah.
Do you know your neighbours?
No, I live in London.
I don't even know the people I live with. I just know they hate me.
Yeah. What would you do if one of your flatmates started shitting on your carpet?
I would still be the most hated housemate. Honestly.
Well, started shitting where? In... Just on the lawn.
Just on the lawn, yeah.
Isn't that a good thing?
I'd be excited to have a lawn suddenly in London.
Grateful for that.
The only time I had a front lawn in London, my flatmate caught a man going through our bins while he was standing on the front. He went, "Hey, can you stop that?" And the guy looked at our front lawn and went, "We should clean it up a bit." And my flatmate was like, "Yeah, fair call." I mean, my honest answer, I know I've said I run away from conflict, but I really don't think he should make his life focus on poo. I think he's just going to be sad at the end of that fight. He's just
got
to get over
your
it.
Lawn. This is your new lawn.
No, I think it's the opposite.
You
I
really
think...
are subservient. It wouldn't surprise me if you go out there and take a shit with the dog. Just so it doesn't feel weird.
I want to feel better.
You're so good at subservience. You could probably charge for it.
What, in a sexual way? Okay. Whatever you say. I've never had my subservience applauded. This is such a great day.
So come on, you've like...
No, so what I think it's the opposite of see the bigger picture and get over it. I think get really, really involved. Get creative with the dog shit and start maybe making them into earrings. And sending them back to your neighbour.
How long does it take for dog shit to, you know, go to heaven or whatever? Like, disappear? Like...
Oh, the idea of dog shit heaven.
Well, I'm telling you now, don't cremate it.
What can you do to stop a dog from doing it on your lawn?
Like corks what? Up its anus?
Oh, brutality. Mm. Oh, okay.
What about standing in their back garden late at night just staring up at the bedroom window?
Just put the shit in a slingshot and just hit it at their windows.
That's got to be the answer.
He's definitely picking up the shit and posting it through their letterbox. Hmm. I mean, that's got to be the reasonable answer.
Second class as well. Yeah. Make them wait for it.
Well, actually,
no, put sign delivery. Have them sign for it.
Brilliant.
Don't put enough postage on the jiffy bag so they have to pay. Points,
points, points, points, points.
I've given half a point. So this advice comes from DearMrsWeb.com, which says, most towns that are civilised enough to have pooper scooper laws also have leash laws. Either Fido is on one heck of a long leash or he's running loose. I would collect the evidence, bring it over to the owner's lawn and point out that watching Fido obviously is not enough. So I give Margaret half a point for earrings. Fair. In fact, I'm going to give Darren half a point for slingshot as well. Yeah. I would then pleasantly suggest a dog run to keep puppy in his own yard and to comply with local leash laws.
What? Torch the dog! Torch the dog! I think if anybody said post the shit through the letterbox, they should get a point.
That was you.
I think I've mentioned this before, but my favourite thing I ever heard on TalkSport was there was a phone-in about how to keep slugs out of your garden, and someone rang up and said, how I keep slugs out of my garden is I smash up a windscreen and put it on the garden. Oh.
Handy tip. Very clever. What a green thumb that man.
It's a very TalkSport answer.
It really is. It's horrible.
It's amazing. Now you've learnt how a real agony aunt does it, let's see you deal with some problems from tonight's audience. So the first one we have is David. David's problem is, I am a tall guy who loves going to music gigs, but when I try to get near the front, people stare at me with hatred and tell me to move to the back. What should I do?
Stay at the back, you're tall.
What, you think that's how music gigs should work? It's just graded. So
as a short person, yes. That's what they should do.
You're not allowed to crowd surf either, you're too long. There's too much of you.
You always go to the front. You sound like you're a serial offender.
Are you a barrier hugger?
Do you try and get the set list at the end? Is that what you...
No. Depends how much I like the band. But
if you hate the band, do you try to get the set list before?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I am a short person, and I wouldn't ask you to go to the back. Just move behind me. I don't care who's behind me.
I once had someone offer me money to move behind them at a gig. But
how much?
It was 20 quid. The thing was, it was during the last song of the night.
Right, so which was?
It was at Bon Jovi, so it was Living on a Prayer. So
classic. You're not moving for Living on a Prayer.
Mate, if someone was in front of me at a Bon Jovi gig, I'd be fucking delighted.
That's
the prayer I'm living for.
You'd give him 20 quid to stay there.
Yeah. You fucking move, dickhead.
So this person had thought the last 2.5 hours have been fine, but for the last 3 minutes, I'm just not having any more of it.
Yeah.
You know what you should have done, sir, is pulled your iPad out and started recording.
Yeah. Or get a periscope out. That would be really sarcastic.
A friend of mine did suggest wearing a white t-shirt that had written on the back, 6'4", not my fucking problem.
A bit aggressive. Yeah.
No one on this panel would ever say such a terrible
thing. Really offensive.
What if you did one song in front of that person and then you move to the next one each time you go, you've just got this for one song, and just move along the front row?
Oh, that's not bad. It's insane.
Yeah.
But like a
shit. You make a lot of enemies.
Exactly.
The thing is, at the front of a gig, you're generally rammed in, so it's very hard to move around.
I'm trying to help you, and you're just giving me no. So.
If you're at the front barrier, you can't drink alcohol. You're not near the bar, so...
No, you just take a lot of drinks with you and just hold
and
on.
And a long straw.
I've been to a lot of gigs, so I've got a few strategies.
What would you do if there was like a 4-foot... Like Kylie Minogue is behind
you. A 4-foot Kylie Minogue. Very, very slightly smaller than the real Kylie Minogue. But she employs lots of different ones, all different sizes.
Yeah, guys, suspend disbelief for that one.
I mean, I'd probably want to turn around and look at Kylie Minogue, but if it is a really short person behind me, I will turn around and say...
Get on my shoulders, bitch!
You turn around and you just go, it's genetics, ha!
You turn around and go, this is what you could have won. Yeah.
If they're really short, then I will offer, but the problem is, if you do that a lot, you do end up at the back of the gig staring at the wall.
Just choose a cut-off
staring
point.
At the wall!
Keep turning around,
Frame, mate, that's your fault. Stage is definitely the other way.
Genuinely, take a ruler with you of a certain height and say, if you're under this height, I'll move.
Get that on a shirt.
Like a roller coaster.
Yeah, if you're over this height, fuck off. But if you're under this height, I will move for you.
All right.
Well, that's David, nice. Who would you like to give points to?
I like Darren's idea of the iPad.
Oh, that's who you are, is it?
So, Seb's problem is, at the office, there is a fierce competition at work in terms of providing people with snacks. I ended up getting 50 cream eggs, but they've almost run out. What should I do now? I'm a bit lost. Where are you, Seb?
I'm here.
Hi, Seb. So where did this competition come from? Is it like on the first day they say to you, P.S., bring snacks?
It's more of an unspoken thing. It's kind of like, you know, how can you outdo each other? Like, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a formal kind of competition. It's
more terrifying than that. And you brought in 50 cream eggs and now they're almost run out.
How often do you have to do it?
Every day.
Pretty much.
Really?
You're all bringing in snacks for each other every day.
Has everyone put on
so
much weight?
Because you look like quite a normal size.
Yeah, but he has diabetes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Is your boss a feeder?
So
do they take photos of you for their special Instagram account?
I think we're definitely going that way.
Did your cream eggs go down very well?
They did, but the thing is, like, I don't even really like cream eggs, and I had to eat a lot of cream eggs.
So you ate...
Hang on. You brought in 50 cream eggs.
Are you the person who works there?
Oh, my God, you're self-employed, aren't you? And you brought in 50 cream eggs for yourself,
and you don't like them.
This is the weirdest problem we've had.
It's more like they're quite sickly, and like so it's quite hard to offload them onto people because they're like, well, I've just had one, you know? I can only have so much in a day.
That is true. You can only have about one cream eggs, I think.
Three cream eggs!
Three? Oh, no, that's too many.
You can't have three cream eggs in a day.
Thank you.
You can't have one in a week. Fucking awful.
What?
They are not.
You say that as a vegan?
Yes, it's a big sugar bollock. It's awful.
Do you lick out the inside or do you just chew down?
This is a different topic altogether, by the way.
Of the sugar bollock.
I'm quite boring. I tend to just eat it whole.
Whole? Swallow it.
Eat it whole. What are you, a
pelican? That's a power play. While you stare at them one at a time.
Did you see the film Cool Hand Luke?
No.
Well, then this reference means nothing.
That's all of Michael's.
Can I say, this is the only time in my working career I was ever not subservient, as in that we always had. We're so excited.
I'm so excited.
Thank you. Very supportive.
Turns out she stabbed someone.
She had to be subservient because of parole.
I'm just trying to build up a good character reference. Whatever. They always made us do like a baking thing like every 6 months. And I really resented that I had to like do a gig and then they expected me to come home and bake a cake and then go to work. So I would always bring in just like a Sainsbury's 2-pound cake. But then they'd always give me like pity votes. I'm just saying, bring in shit snacks. Was that your problem?
Ooh, yeah, actually, I mean, that's a really good point. Bring in vegan snacks. Honestly, they will fucking despise you. And leaflet. Leave leaflets.
No one eats them.
Those are the snacks. They're printed on rice paper. Say that.
Bring in dog poo and post it through their letterbox. And that's...
Seb, I think we've solved your problem.
Definitely.
Yeah, we've all got points.
Seb, who would you like to give points to?
I think I'm going to go with the letterbox.
Thank you.
Points to Heidi. Thank you, Seb.
Hi. Can't believe he refers to you as the letterbox.
Thank you. Such a weird diss.
Let's check the scores, producer Ben.
Well, the scores are that Michael and Heidi have 3 and Margaret and Darren have 4.
Uh-huh. Oh, experts, schmexperts. But in order to hit the next format point, we have to talk to one. It's time to ask the experts.
Ask.
In this round, the panel have to second guess what someone with actual skills would do in some extreme scenario. So let's welcome today's trained professional. It's expert marathon runner, Kate Carter. Oh, Kate, how many marathons have you run?
13.
13. As I said earlier, a half marathon of marathons.
Wow, and you thought it was worth saying twice. Jesus.
So, panel in a moment. You're going to have to second guess what Kate would do. There's some running based scenarios. But before that, you were in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, so I ran London Marathon this year dressed as a panda for a Guinness World Record.
And were you the quickest panda?
The fastest marathon in a full body animal costume, brackets female.
I was going to say, because I expect pandas would probably run it faster. Like, you can't have been the fastest panda.
That's really aggressive.
Jeez. Anna, what's your beef?
Do you think you're better than her?
Does it feel like you now know what it's like to be a panda?
Do you like bamboo as a snack?
No.
Do you very, very, very rarely have sex?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see other people in, like, animal costumes as you ran past them and went, ha-ha?
No, but you know the guy who... Everyone saw the viral video afterwards, the guy dressed as Big Ben who couldn't get under the thing. I ran a lot of it, just seeing him and just...
Well, because you wanted to know the time.
I couldn't see my watch with my panda costume.
So if I was going to run a marathon to try and win a Guinness Book of World Records, what would I have to... Because someone's done it in the diving suit.
You can look it up on their website and you can invent your own category, and if it doesn't exist already...
You know that move where you do the worm on the floor?
The worm?
Yeah.
Finally, an expert.
Did you train in the panda suit?
I did a couple of runs in it around my local park.
Did that freak people out?
Yeah, there was kind of tunnel vision through the head. I couldn't really see very well through it, and there was one run I did with my husband, and he was running alongside me, and he obviously could see people's reactions better than me. And apparently at one point, this lady running towards us looked up and she saw me, and she did this massive leap to the side, and like, like she thought I was actually a wild animal.
Do you get a medal, or do you just go in the book?
When you cross the line, you get your medal.
Do you get a medal from the Guinness Book of World Records?
No, when you cross the line, the guy from Guinness pops up with a certificate in a frame, and then like you pose for this photo with him. And
in
then
your
I was
suit.
Like trying to take it away, and he was like, no, that's just the prop.
Here's the first scenario we put to Kate. Kate is coming up to the 18-mile mark of her latest marathon when another runner draws up alongside her. He is shouting the chorus to Barbie Girl by Aqua over and over and over and farting quite a lot. But when Kate speeds up to shake him off, he keeps pace with her. He's really annoying, but though her personal best looks to be out of reach, she still has a marathon to finish. What would Kate do in this situation?
Well, her personal best, this is the bit I
that's
didn't get.
That's out of reach. So the personal best, that's
her
never going to happen.
Her personal best, okay.
Oh, okay.
So she's got nothing...
Nothing to lose.
To live for.
Oh, fuck that. It's like Grand Theft Auto. Get in a car. Why are you still doing it? It's over.
Yeah, jump on his back. Maybe.
Clip his foot. Just clip it. You're behind him. Just clip his foot. Or push somebody else in there. I want anarchy. Yeah.
He deserves nothing other than pain. So
light his farts.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Poo on the side of the road. Throw it to his left.
Just move to the side. That's the first thing I'd do. If a guy's farting in my face, I'd probably move.
What would you do in this situation, Kate?
So which one did you do, Kate?
Yeah, pretty much what Darren said.
Light his
fart.
Maybe not that, but get to the side of the road, get away from him, swear at him.
Yeah. Do you ever get men trying to talk to you during marathons?
Yes.
Or telling you how to run or...
Yes.
What do they say?
Yeah,
mansplaining it.
Yeah.
Mansplaining to a panda.
Out of breath mansplaining. Yeah.
There was one guy once, I was running home from my normal, like, run home from work, like, really easy pace, and this guy comes up to me at traffic lights, and he's middle-aged guy with a bit of a paunch and not looking super fit himself. And he starts saying, oh, yeah, you look like you could be a decent runner, love, you know, and starts talking to me and telling me what I should do. So, and he wouldn't stop. I didn't give him anything back. I was just like, whatever. And he wouldn't stop. So I just very gradually sped up and sped up and sped up and sped up until eventually I realised he'd dropped away and I turned around and looked back and he was puking under a tree.
Yeah! Yes! Oh. If only all stories ended like that.
That is justice.
So happy. Scenario number two for Kate. Kate is running in fancy dress as Ed 209 from the film RoboCop. She's just passing the 23-mile mark when she starts to feel the unmistakable sensation of needing to make a toilet. Kate knows there are portaloos at the 24-mile mark, and after that the route goes through a forest. But there's only 3 miles to go before some proper lavvies at the finish line. What would Kate do in this situation?
What was the maths on the forest?
It's quite mathsy, isn't it? So
she has 3 oranges.
So at the 23-mile mark, she needs the toilet. There are disgusting portaloos a mile up the road, and then the route goes through a forest. Or she can hang on till the finish line, where there are the most beautiful luxury toilets you've ever seen. Amazing. And a bidet.
And is the robot, is that the main RoboCop or the one that's the big two legs?
Yeah, the big two legs.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can shit in that easy.
To be fair, that is true.
Robots don't shit.
The robot laws. Do not kill robot a human. Do not shit.
Wow. Is anybody pissed or gone to toilet anywhere they shouldn't have done?
I mean, all the time. I'm doing it right now. But I think in the marathon, 3 miles to go,
yeah.
I think you just go. I mean, yeah. You're probably in agony by that point anyway. What's a bit more
No one's going to know if it's piss.
No.
Are there, if you're running? Yeah. Good.
Oh, wait, is it toilet or... I mean, is it shit? Yeah,
we should have clarified that, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
one or two, yeah.
I think it might be ploppies.
Does Kate announce that while she's running? I think it might be poppies.
That's what she says as she crosses the finish line.
But in the robot poppies! Voice.
Right. Yeah, actually shitting in your pants, maybe. I think the portaloos, though. I once went into a portaloo, though, and the shit was higher than the seat, and that was not...
I'd have thought, given that a marathon is such an extreme physical feat, that you're just allowed to... Like, the idea of stopping to go to toilet seems
painful.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Why just not do it while you're running, right?
You can squat down and run while squatting.
No, not even squatting. No. I don't need to squat. I can...
Whee!
You bragger.
To show.
I just keep running. I would piss into my pants whilst running.
It feels like Sex in the City.
I don't need to squat.
I reckon you'll just have gone before you left the house. So it's fine.
Portaloo.
You're going to Portaloo at 24 miles, Michael.
I reckon you're going to shit yourself, pick up the shit and throw it at your competitors.
Is that guy still following you?
Yeah.
Heidi.
I think the robot should shit in the woods.
My guess is that I don't know why you'd even consider stopping running. Just do it as nature intended.
Yeah, but you don't even have to squat.
I don't have to squat.
I know.
Kate, what would you do in this situation?
So sorry, Kate.
Well done on your achievement.
I think I might not say this one to my parents. What would I do? I think it would depend if your PB was on or not. If you're running at a pace that's going to break your personal best and you just sod it.
Just doing your pants, right?
Yeah, if you're going to wee.
Yeah, exactly.
What if it's ploppies?
Yeah. Then you would, I think, be in pain. I think your stomach would hurt, so you would stop in the nearest loo or tree or whatever.
Just hold it. Just hold it in.
Ow. My stomach.
I've never ran before, so I don't know.
If you hold in a shit and then you have a shit, it feels amazing. So actually it's worth it.
It was the best marathon ever.
Kate, what is the least number of times you've had to go to the toilet during a marathon?
Zero.
Your maths is so confusing the way you ask questions.
Yeah, you
what
really are.
Have you not least done? As
you really are wording them like a riddle.
I'll be honest with you. In the Olympics, the only reason to do the hurdle is so you can suck it back in.
I have a lot of work on at the moment.
Well, we don't know how.
Kate, who do you think should get points for really good answers?
I think actually you got.
I've been very good this episode. Before you leave us, Kate, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Not really, but if you've got any running questions, you could ask me on Twitter. It's at Kate Helen Carter.
Big round of applause for Kate! Woo! And while we're at it, Heidi and Darren, have you got anything you'd like to plug? Heidi?
I'm doing lots of shows that would be on my Twitter, which is at Heidi_Regan.
What, why don't you plug your actual Edinburgh
show? Oh, and I'm doing Edinburgh.
It's but a riddle.
Yeah. Please come. Edinburgh, actually, much more important, yeah.
Darren, have you got anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Darren Harrier, darrenharrier.com, and I'm also doing Edinburgh as well with my show. It's called Good Heart You, and then an autumn winter tour. Just get me on Insta or Twitter or whatever.
Before we hit the final round, what are the scores, producer Ben?
Well, now, Michael and Heidi have 3, but Margaret and Darren have 5.
Woo! Just like Fire Dragon Lady, we're about to do the wrong thing.
Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing!
In this round, I want the panellists to tell me what is the wrongest thing to do in any given situation. The winner gets mastitis.
Oh.
The round ends when producer Ben activates his cyberwookie. You inherit a gun tattoo. What is the wrong thing to do?
What? A tattoo.
Can you repeat inherit. That question?
You inherit a tattoo of
you
a gun.
You inherit. Well, thank you, Grandpapa.
You inherit a tattoo gun. What is the wrong thing?
Oh, that's very different. That completely changes the question.
What is the wrong thing to do?
Go and tattoo a load of dolphins.
That's a good answer.
What?
It's the wrongest. No, but it's the wrongest thing to do. You know, this isn't based on reality.
Don't use it impersonating a gun to hold up a tattoo parlor because they'll recognise it and know that it's not a real gun. Don't use it without sterilising it because it's inherited, so it's. That's germs.
What's the wrong
thing? Granddad's germs on the gun.
You definitely use it without sterilising it. It's the wrong thing.
The wrong thing to do.
Wait, am I
the wrong thing to do?
What is the wrong thing to do?
Heidi, do you not know what we're doing here?
I'm saying if you did that, that would be bad. Oh, yes.
No.
So do it. I'm so confused.
Your farts sound like children laughing. What is the wrong thing to do?
Share a hot tub with a pedo? I mean, that's always the answer as well. What's the wrong
I was going to say, don't fart at the Catholic Church, but yeah.
And I was going to say, blow off in front of you know, it'll get it out anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Your best friend asked you to officiate their wedding. What is the wrong thing to do?
Mishear it as defecate.
Do it, but as Jeremy Kyle.
Not going to be topical.
Yeah.
When it goes out.
Do you think everyone will have forgotten him? I'd be so delighted.
He'll have done something shitty again. Yeah. Don't worry.
You're allergic to water. What is the wrong thing to do?
Drink it.
Yeah.
You're right. Start again and we're going to give honest answers.
Okay. From now on.
You're allergic to water. What is the wrong thing to do?
Keep away from water. I mean, fuck it.
Live on jizz.
Post it through your neighbour's letterbox. I don't know, I can't keep up.
There is a tiny man who lives in your fridge, but he doesn't like it. What is the wrong thing to do?
Put him in the oven.
Get him a little female mate, because that's just assuming his sexuality. That's forcing her to go into a situation she might not be comfortable with. There's like so many problems with that.
This is such an odd quickfire round.
How small is he?
He's the size of a pettifaloo.
Oh! I don't know. Put him up my arse.
Honk the horn, Ben! Honk the horn!
Ben!
Yeah. The only thing quickfire about that round was your horn.
So, that's the end of the show. A line of duty for the winners. A line of duty.
All that work for that.
A line of duty for the losers.
How did you know we were going to have so many poo jokes in a
day? Oh, I don't know.
Producer Ben, what are the scores?
Very exciting. We get 7-all.
Oh, my God! Martin White did the music. Thanks to the Phoenix for having us and to Grim Rhys Davies for helping out. Do the Right Thing is a Fuzz production for the internet. I love you. Thank you so much for coming to see this.
I'm so, so sorry about
that. I'm sorry.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.